Hey there, I'm Wendy Vaughn, sales success coach. Now, they call me the queen of predictable sales results. Well, because the easy formulas I share create sustainable, predictable results for my clients. And I am so glad that you've tuned in to today's episode of the Selling Made Easy Show, because this show is all about inspiration, not just in demystifying the client getting process known as sales, but also in peering through the lens of guest entrepreneurs who are blazing their own trails. And those trails have probably included a few unexpected roadblocks, maybe even having to overcome fears or blocks about selling. Now, I believe everyone has their zone of genius, their superpower that's a gift to others, including you. Now, for me, after 22 years of outperforming my peers in sales results, well, it's almost an X-ray vision that I have when it comes to finding and fixing any sales blind spots within entrepreneurs that are unknowingly causing clients to slip away. And with today's guest, her zone of genius is her ability to help people connect with their own sense of self and empower them to recognize that anxiety is simply an experience, not who they are. So I am super excited to introduce Deonte Fuchs. Deonte is a clinical psychologist and anxiety coach, offering support for women who are tired of anxiety getting in the way of their relationships, their parenting, and their confidence. Now, through coaching programs, online courses, and an online women's hub, she helps shift anxiety to the background so that they can get back to living a life they love. Well, welcome, Deonte. I am so excited to have you as my guest today.
Oh, thank you for having me, Wendy. It's really great to be here.
Yeah, and I just love how you're helping women get past those fears that are keeping them stuck and feeling unfulfilled. I can't wait to hear more about this and the work you're now doing.
It's really awesome work, I must say. I love doing it.
Yeah, let's dive in here. And, top of mind question for me is exactly what was the inspiration or tipping point that prompted you to start this amazing coaching practice?
Well, I guess I have always known that I wanted to be a psychologist since adolescence. So that really just was my path. And I became a psychologist, and I've had a private practice for over 10 years now, offering one-on-one therapy with clients. But, over the last few years, there are a few things that have been getting under my skin about therapy, psychology, and not least of which is really the fact that therapy is very expensive. And so it becomes quite an exclusive endeavor. I think many people don't really meet criteria for a funded service. And if they do, then there's a long wait list, or it's pretty limited in what it can offer. So if you then want to have continued work, then you have to pay for therapy out of your own pockets. And that is very, very expensive.
Right.
The other thing is that I only have so many hours in each day. I also have a young family with two young children, and I don't really want to be working 40-hour weeks. But, with one-on-one work, you can only earn as much money as you have hours in a day.
Right.
So you're either going to have to charge more, which really seems ludicrous when therapy is already so expensive. So I guess I was frustrated with the fact that I really, really want to continue helping people, but I also want to have more freedom and more income. And so I realized really the only way to be able to do that is to reach more people without charging more, and that meant moving online and creating more online group programs, which is what's led me into this current business.
Yeah, that's great. It makes a lot of sense, because not only is it something that you have a lot of expertise around, but it is such a huge stumbling block for so many people, just being stuck, by anxiety. So I love the fact that you have really lasered in on one aspect of the breadth of your work in this online format. So yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So how long have you had your own coaching practice, if you will, and has your business mission or vision evolved during that time?
I haven't actually been at this for exceptionally long in comparison to my one-on-one therapy business. I attended a conference back in 2019, which got me thinking about the limitations of trading time for money, which is essentially what a private practice is. And so it's at that point where I started to change course to the online audience. And at that stage, I really just started building a following. So having a blog and creating a Facebook group and just putting the message out there. But at that time, I started working with stretch-thin working mothers with mum guilt. I guess maybe because I'm really passionate about working with women and empowering women. And so that seemed like a good place to start. But I think it wasn't long after that that I started noticing that most women struggle with underlying anxiety that becomes debilitating. And this is the thing that's disempowering them, I guess, this anxiety. And so I felt that if I pivoted just a little bit, I could really use my expertise as a psychologist in this particular field. And that would allow me to reach more people in a way that felt really aligned with what I was doing.
Right.
Yeah. So that is how it slightly changed, but.
Right. Yeah. No, that makes perfect sense. And, you know, by going to an online format, then obviously you can help so many more people too.
Absolutely.
I'm just assuming that the investment level might be a little bit more accessible if it's an online course, that type of thing, than, you know, that one-on-one specific, you know, support. So yeah, that's great. Well, have there been any big roadblocks or challenges that you've had overcome along the way in building this aspect of your practice?
Yeah, absolutely. I think we all struggle with our imposter syndrome or our fear of judgment. Mm-hmm. And I think psychology in and of itself is a pretty monitored and I would call stiff profession. Well, I think in many parts of the world it is. Certainly it is here. And I felt really worried about how my shift to the online world and creating coaching programs for mental health issues would be received by my colleagues. I think many psychologists would actually frown upon coaches. I guess they have this belief that coaches are not really well qualified to be working with mental health problems, maybe because it's not a well-regulated profession and many people can call themselves coaches without any real qualifications. So I suspect I really worried what my professional realm and my colleagues there would think about me creating coaching programs that would help people with anxiety. So the struggle for me has really been my own concern with their perception of me, which has made it really difficult to get out there and to spread the word about my endeavor. And I think we all struggle with that imposter syndrome. You know, I kind of wonder, well, what makes me qualified to be doing this and charging money for it? And I know I have a certification in life coaching and I have a master's degree, but I'm really wanting to help thousands on a bigger, wider platform, sort of globally. And that then means marketing the service in a different way. So yeah, I've always relied on referrals from GPs and from psychologists. But now I really have to put myself out there and say, well, I really can do this thing and I can do it well. So come work with me.
Yeah, right. Yeah, absolutely. And that imposter syndrome is something that just does rear its head, you know, even though, like you said, we can have, you know, decades of experience and, you know, all the degrees and even certifications and, you know, on and on and on.
Yeah.
But it's still that inner gremlin, right? That just kind of rears its head at the most inopportune time and steals our thunder. So can you share maybe a technique or something that you discovered that empowered you to overcome or at least face that imposter syndrome that came out of nowhere, you know, unbeckoned?
Yeah. I think in relation to what I was worried about, the perceptions of other psychologists and in my professional realm, I really just, I mean, first of all, I did have my own coach. I still do, because I definitely think there is super value in having coaches and psychologists in your space to help you with your personal development and to see the blind spots. So that's really helped me to identify that a lot of this is really just my own limiting beliefs, right? It's my own belief that I'm not quite good enough, which is almost a universal core belief. And so tapping into that and then starting to really know my worth in the work that I do with my clients and establishing the fact that at the end of the day, as a psychologist, as a health professional, as a coach, all we really want to be doing is helping other people heal. And we want to do that in a safe and ethical way. And there is nothing about what I'm doing here that's not safe or ethical. So those concerns that I had really were my own beliefs and my own I'm not good enough stuff.
Right. Yeah. So acknowledging that, what did you do to get over that limiting belief?
Well, one of the things is to recognize the worth that we do have. So every day, kind of counting what we've done well, rather than always looking at what we're not so good at. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And right. Coming out at the end of the day and thinking, oh, well, that was a really good interaction that I had with this person, or that was a really great connection that I had. That felt really good. Mm-hmm. And recognizing how much good is actually happening in each day. Right.
Yes, that is powerful. And it's so important and sometimes so difficult for us to do, is to just really honor and recognize and give ourselves that recognition that, you know what, that was good. That was really great. You know, that was spot on. It's interesting how a limiting belief might also be, you know, saying, oh, you don't deserve to receive recognition or something, you know. So being in business for yourself certainly illuminates a lot of those little gremlins. So yeah, thanks for sharing that tip. That's definitely very powerful. So, and you know, Deonta, you're obviously an expert at helping women overcome those anxieties that they might be feeling so that they can have more confidence and enjoy better relationships. And if they're a mom, you know, be a better parent. But I'm curious, how do you feel about the client enrollment or sales part of being in business? Now, this is a very different skill set. Do you have any challenges or frustrations with this important part of growing a successful business?
Yes. This is a very difficult part of the endeavor for me. I think because coming from a service-based profession where I have received many of my referrals from GP practices or other therapists or colleagues, and never really had to create a website or put out an advert for my services. I just, you know, my authority has already been built by the referral service. Mm-hmm. So I haven't really needed to convince people that I can help them or that I can do what I say I do. And so moving into this online space where I am literally having to put myself out there and say, hey, look, I really can help. I have these skills, and we can create great connections. This has been the most difficult part for me, is selling myself and getting people to trust that what I say I can do, I really can.
Mm, uh-huh. Right. Yeah. It's interesting because, like you said, when somebody else says, who has gained the person's trust and says, oh, you need to go talk to Deonta about that, it just automatically includes a stamp of approval, right? That, oh, well, this person wouldn't lead me astray, so she must be great. And so what I hear you saying is that without that critical component, how can you recreate that same level of credibility or elicit that confidence within your prospective client? So and that's, you know, you're definitely not alone in that, especially as more and more people create online courses and take their marketing beyond their referral base, regardless whether it's an online course or simply a coaching practice that is beyond now their circle of influence. So if you'd like, I'd be happy to share some insight with you around that.
I would love that.
Okay. So, you know, it's interesting when you look at that aspect of the referral, for lack of a better word, funnel, because there's a prospect to client journey that's always happening. There's a point of discovery, and through various different conversion points, they end up as your clients. And so with the referral component being in there, what that person is saying is creating the element of alignment and, like I said earlier, giving you that expert status. So how do we recreate that without that person? So there are a couple techniques that allow you to do that in a way that's not salesy, because let's face it, you know, I'm gathering that's probably not something that is part of your authentic way of being, is like a self-promoter, or, you know, you've got to have this, or, you know, the hype type thing. Doesn't sound to me like it's something that aligns with you. So in the online space, when you're bringing people into your world through talking about anxiety and the outcomes of working with you, you know, obviously testimonials, you know, those are powerful to have on websites or, you know, included in the maybe lead magnet or something that gives people a little taste of the work that you do. I'm not sure exactly what your sales process is, but anyway, testimonials are powerful to provide that element. And you can even ask one of your referring partners to give you a testimonial that you add on your website. So they aren't saying it to that particular person individually, but they're saying it about you. And you represent, you know, you state, of course, who they are. This is Tiffany Blackwell, whatever, general practitioner, at whatever, you know, so you give them credibility and they're giving you a stamp of approval just simply through their testimonial. So that can be a part of your, just simply your online presence. But in the enrollment conversation, there still needs to be that element, right? Because they might or might not have noticed that on your website. You can't assume that they did. And so that's also a very critical component of the enrollment conversation, is expressing your expertise, conveying your expertise. And like I said, there are ways to do it that don't feel boastful or salesy, or, you know, just depends on what your personality aligns with. But simply by referencing your business journey, you know, how have you gotten your expertise? You know, let me just give you a little bit insight as to how I have become, you know, how focused on helping women through their anxiety. I was a I still am practicing as a and I gained my experience. And so you just, you share it. It's important to express that as part of the enrollment conversation, because people do need to know that you are an expert, and it's not being salesy to tell them. And that's usually a mindset issue, is when they feel like, oh, I just don't like talking about myself. It feels too braggy. Well, I'm afraid that the person won't buy from you if they don't know that you're an expert. So you better share it somehow, some way that feels authentic. So hopefully that helps give you some insight, and not only for your online presence, but in your enrollment conversation as well.
Yeah, fabulous. Thank you, Wendy. I didn't even think about the partner testimonials, but that is such a gold piece of information. Thank you.
Good, good. Yeah. Well, super. Well, I hope that that helps move the needle for you. And be sure to let me know after your next enrollment conversation as to how well you've incorporated that expert level of credibility into the conversation. So
I will do.
And, you know, I'm just curious here, Deonte, and we have been through turmoil, right? For the past 15 months, I'm referencing the pandemic.
Yeah.
And I know that you are, I believe, practicing in a different country than the United States. So I'd love to hear a little bit about how the pandemic has, I believe you're in New Zealand. So I'd love to hear how that has really impacted the New Zealand business and, you know, your world there. But more importantly, what has been the impact on women with the pandemic, turning their world upside down, not just women, men as well, granted, but your work is specifically in support of women and their anxiety. Has the pandemic really been a catalyst or had any impact on the work that you do?
It's a big question. And I think I'm so blessed to be living in New Zealand, because our country has not been affected as badly as the rest of the world has.
Yes, that's what I thought, but I wasn't, I didn't want to make any assumptions. So that's great.
No, yeah, we have pretty much carried on as if nothing has gone on, other than the fact that our borders are shut and we cannot travel, or people cannot travel to us unless they're prepared to pay thousands for quarantine. For the most part, our business has continued in face-to-face as usual.
Nice.
So that has been really lucky for us.
Yes.
We did have a very brief lockdown towards the beginning of 2020, I guess, when the whole world went into lockdown for the first time. Mm-hmm. And I think that impacted the way that we work as coaches and therapists, well, as psychologists, really, because for years there's been a debate about whether online therapy is as effective as face-to-face. Mm-hmm. And so that really quelled the debate because we all decided actually online therapy is as effective, if not in some cases more effective.
Nice.
So in some ways that's been a catalyst to being able to work in an online space with a lot less trepidation, I guess.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah,
but one thing that the pandemic has done globally that I've noticed in terms of many of the clients that I do work with, and particularly women, is, episodes of anxiety have increased, largely health anxiety, but also, you know, being in a house with your children and having demands of work and partners and having to do everything from home, the lack of social interaction that's happened, all of this has contributed to the perfect storm for anxiety to peak its head, because now our difficulties with our children or our difficulties with our relationships have really come, you know, front and center. People are far more, you know, they're confronted with them in a bigger way than if they were disappearing to work and then only seeing each other sporadically throughout the day. Right. So now being in close quarters with people brings all those problems to the fore. Mm-hmm. And anxiety really is about, it often crops up when we're avoiding things, when we're not wanting to address important issues. Mm. So that I think has contributed to the increase of anxiety. But as I said, also just the general uncertainty of the world and where this is going and how things have changed have also contributed to anxiety. Right. So the big thing is, and I guess where what I'm offering has come in is that because we have this incredible need, we also have services that have been very, very stretched thin, and often people are not receiving the support that they need to, unless they're really, I would say, severely affected by the anxiety so that their public health systems will pick them up. If they're sitting in that moderate range, they often are going without support. And that's really where I wanted to swoop in and start providing something that is affordable and accessible on a global level to help people who are struggling.
Right. Yeah, no, it makes a lot of sense because so many people did feel isolated and, you know, maybe started judging themselves or even just discounting and diminishing, you know, feelings that were coming up and trying to push them aside. And so the work that you do and the accessibility that you've provided with this expertise has really been powerful. Yeah. So yeah, it makes a lot of sense. Well, Deontay, how do you work with women who want to finally break through their anxieties so they can have more confidence and have better relationships and be better parents? Can you share a little about your philosophy or your approach?
Yeah, certainly. I think the main thing that I'm preaching from the rooftops is that anxiety in and of itself is not actually a problem. You know, we as humans, we actually need anxiety because it's our safety mechanism. Mm. So it's the brain's way of telling you to stop and to pay attention. It tells you that there's something important happening, and that's the safety mechanism. Yeah. So, you know, it's not meant to derail us. It's not meant to be debilitating. It's also not meant to become the center focus of our lives. And when that does happen, that's when anxiety has become stuck. So really, in the way that I work with women is identifying experiences of anxiety that are normal, natural responses versus experiences of anxiety that are stuck and debilitating. Mm-hmm. And so what we do in terms of breaking that cycle is we implement an ease approach. I always say we're going to shift your anxiety with ease, because ease is my signature approach in helping women to shift that. And really it's a four-step process where we look at empowering. And that is around just getting control back, because often when we're feeling anxious, we are feeling really powerless and helpless against this thing that has begun to feel like a bit of a beast in our lives. Mm-hmm. And so really understanding what anxiety is, how it functions in the brain, how it has become stuck, and also maybe looking at some of the reasons why you specifically have become stuck while maybe your neighbor has not, also provides us with a sense of control and empowerment over this thing. Understanding, I always say knowledge is power. Mm-hmm. So that's really step one in being able to shift that. But then the next step, which is really important, is recognizing that when anxiety has become stuck, it's often because it's in this vicious cycle of anxiety about anxiety. Many, many women that I work with are waking up in the morning going, am I anxious? oh, what is the experience of anxiety today? Am I going to be anxious later? I'm not sure if I can do this because of my anxiety. And so we've constantly got this script or this checking that's going on about whether we're anxious and when is it going to go away and what is it feeling like today? And the more attention we pay on this, the more energy we're giving it. Right. And so it becomes a vicious cycle of anxiety about anxiety. And so acceptance, which is the A of our ease approach, is really the process in which we learn to stop that cycle by just sitting and being with it. Because now we're empowered. We know that it's not going to kill us. Mm-hmm. We're able to just sit and listen. What is this anxiety trying to tell me to pay attention to? What are the issues that are coming up? What is the stuff that I need to be dealing with, right? So that would be step two. Mm-hmm. And it goes, we use techniques of mindfulness, but we also look at values-based work and really just mindset stuff around being able to be with that emotion. And then the third step in the process, which is the S of our ease approach, is being able to shift, because we can't ever get back to living a life we love if we're constantly focusing on our anxiety experience.
Right.
So it is really important to shift your focus back to activities that bring you joy, to lifestyle changes that maintain health, mental health, as well as physical health, to shift our focus to our relationships and being able to live in alignment with those. So not only is it shifting your focus away from anxiety and towards things that bring joy, but it's also shifting your life and your lifestyle to be more in alignment. Mm-hmm. Because if we recognize that anxiety often crops up when something is important or when we're avoiding something, often it's because we're living our lives in a way that is not in alignment with our values. So that could be a job that feels uncomfortable, a relationship that feels uncomfortable, maybe even our own limiting beliefs that are creating some discomfort for ourselves. Whatever that may be, the experience is not in alignment. So we need to shift to be more in alignment. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. Makes sense.
And then the very last part of that ease approach, which is another E, is looking at engagement, because we all know that the one thing that we do to cope with anxiety is to avoid. Avoid, 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 avoid the things that make us feel anxious, right. Avoid the social situations, the scary phone call that we have to make for business. You know, we get wrapped up in social media to try to distract ourselves. So avoiding is one of the core components of anxiety, but it's also one of the things that perpetuates it, because when we avoid something that feels scary, then we're confirming to our brain, yes, this thing is scary. You should stay away from it.
Yeah.
Whereas if we actually just went ahead and maybe did that and then came out the other side and realized that it wasn't as bad as we anticipated, then we've disconfirmed or disproved that belief.
Mm-hmm.
So going out there and engaging again, engaging in our relationships, engaging with our children, engaging with the small tasks that we may set out for ourselves that day. But getting out there and engaging means that when you've gone ahead and accomplished the thing that you set out to do, you've built a positive attitude about yourself. You've got a sense of achievement. And so that makes you feel better. It makes you feel more capable. And so you can go out there and engage again. And in that, we create an upward spiral rather than a downward one.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
That definitely makes sense.
So that really is the ease approach. And I work with women in a range of different ways to help move them through those steps. It's not all that linear. It sometimes means, you know, step one, step two, step one, step three. But we really do work through all four pillars of the ease approach to be able to shift anxiety for good.
Right. Yeah. No, that makes a lot of sense just in terms of just recognizing what anxiety is.
Yeah.
And separating it from who we're identifying, like if we're identifying as being an anxious person. No, you're being you and you have a little anxiety, you know, it's not your identity.
Exactly right.
It's separate. And then just systematically going through the steps here of, you know, stopping that vicious cycle, like this snowball effect that might be happening, stopping that and bringing that alignment into, okay, well, what is, you know, it's almost like laying it out on the table and let's just examine this. Let's just take a look at what is causing the, what is out of alignment here?
Yeah.
You know, it's just that stop in the tracks and let's just take a look at this and see if it's really what we think it is, which usually I'm guessing it probably isn't. And then just to take those, you know, face the fear, face that thing that we've labeled as being the thing and address it head on. Yeah, I come up with that all the time with people not wanting to, you know, they do get lost in social media instead of wanting to put out that follow-up call. You know, that happens all the time in sales. It's like, well, what are you afraid of? You know, and just realizing, well, I guess I'm afraid of, you know, rejection. It's like, okay, well, let's call. And then they get rejected. Well, was that so bad? You know,
exactly.
And like, well, I guess it wasn't so bad. You know, it wasn't great, but it wasn't that bad. And so just realizing that facing and engaging and taking those steps instead of running. So yeah, no, it makes a lot of sense. You've obviously put a lot of thought and purpose into creating this methodology that helps people transform and finally be rid of anxiety. So yeah, I love that. Definitely. Well, how can listeners reach you if they're interested in learning more about working with you or buying this course?
Yeah, awesome. They can just head over to my website, which is theunstuckinitiative.com. And, you know, there's a range of options there where you can find out what symptoms of anxiety you might be experiencing. You could download the 5 must-have supplements that can reduce anxiety. And then there is a section there where you can learn how to work with me. So I have one-on-one coaching programs, which are really tailor-made for the unique needs of each woman. I have a 6-week breakthrough bootcamp where we really shift through this ease in a really intense and transformational way. But for people who would like a more softer approach or would like to do things at their own pace, we have a very affordable Women's Hub. It's an online platform where I offer monthly trainings and monthly group coaching sessions. There's lots of therapeutic resources there to work through at your own time. And that's just for a small monthly fee. And that's all situated on my website at theunstuckinitiative.com.
Okay.
I also have a Facebook support group, which is free. And that you can just find that under Interrupting Anxiety Support Group. Simple and easy to find.
Okay. Yeah. Perfect. Interrupting Anxiety. I like that.
Yeah.
And so that's Interrupting Anxiety Support Group, or just Interrupting Anxiety?
Interrupting Anxiety Support Group.
Okay, perfect. And the unstuckinitiative.com. And it sounds like there's lots of goodies on there as far as freebies. I love that. 5 must-have supplements to support reducing anxiety. So in addition to, you know, the mental work, there's a physiological aspects as well. And so you offer the one-on-one private coaching as well as group coaching. And then the monthly program, is that a membership?
Yes, it is a membership, just $27 a month. And at the moment, I'm actually offering 14 days free trial, just so you can go in there and have a look at what it is and whether it would be the right fit. Wow. But that's all linked on my website.
Okay, perfect. Well, that's great. Yeah. And, you know, Deonta, you've already shared so many golden nuggets of wisdom here through our conversation. But if I could tap on you one last time, in looking at your own experience in building your practice and now your coaching practice, what's some advice that you can share with, say, a frustrated entrepreneur or coach or healer who's maybe questioning their decision to have started their own business, or they're doubting their ability to succeed? Maybe they're having anxieties.
Yeah, I think when we start out with an idea, I found at least that I thought there's no ways that people would say no to this. It is just gold. Of course, people would want this product or this offering or this service. And I've come from a profession where it has never been difficult to get clients. But then I went out there and I put myself out there, and it was almost a little bit soul destroying when I didn't have people just knocking at my door begging for my services. And so I think it's really easy at that point to give up and think, oh, I'm not actually cut out for this. I should just stick with, you know, the old way of doing things. But I kept reminding myself of the fact that J.K. Rowling was declined by numerous publishers before somebody decided to take a chance on the Harry Potter series. Mm-hmm. And look at where she is today. So she didn't give up, you know, when the first publisher said, nah, that's not good enough. Right. And I think that's really important for us as entrepreneurs, is that we're setting out into this new way of doing things for many of us, and a new way of marketing yourself and a new way of understanding how you can serve people. And it's really important not to let those first initial no's or the first initial what seems like failures but are definitely not to get us down and to make us think that we don't have what it takes. We certainly have what it takes. Everybody does.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's great. I love that. Just really keep going and follow that initial vision and inspiration that came, and realize that that's, you know, it is there for a reason, and you're in the right place at the right time. So yeah, I love that. Thank you so much for sharing that truly golden nugget of wisdom. And it's just been so great listening to your journey from your early realization that, you know what, I want to be, in the healing modality. I want to be a psychologist, you know, from early on in your life, you knew that that was your calling. And realizing, though, there's only 24 hours in every day, and how can I really build in some balance and some freedom into my lifestyle so that I can be fulfilled myself and provide still that impactful work and having that inspiration to come up with this additional aspect of your expertise that focuses on women and, you know, this hurdle, this huge stumbling block for a lot of people, this impactful work that you're now doing as an anxiety coach, helping women who are tired of anxiety getting in the way of their relationships and their parenting and their confidence. So I've really enjoyed our conversation. And I want to thank you so much for being a guest on my show today.
Oh, thank you, Wendy. It was awesome chatting with you today.
Yeah. And again, for our listeners, you can reach Deontay Fuchs through her website. And that is theunstuckinitiative.com. As well as check out her Facebook group, Interrupting Anxiety Support Group. Both are sounds like a wealth of information, and definitely a lot of different opportunities to tap into her wisdom and her experience. And for all our listeners, remember, when it comes to building a business that brings you joy and has an endless flow of high-paying clients, well, don't overlook the power of the optimized sales conversation, where you've triggered all four psychological states needed for your prospective clients to feel confident and excited about saying, yeah, this sounds great. What's next? So are you 100% confident that your sales conversations are optimized? Well, if you're curious, reach out to me and apply for a sales blind spot coaching session. You may be surprised by what we discover. All right. Well, this is Wendy Vaughn, Chief Paradigm Shifter and Sales Success Coach. And you can find me in our next podcast episode at predictablesalesresults.com. All right. Well, thank you for tuning in to today's episode with Deontay Fuchs. And as always, here's to your success.